Even in Mexico, the end of this progressive cycle is much more than the disappearance of those governments. I think that the right wing of conservative cycle will not happen, but a period of instability, political, economical, and social instability. This means that we will see abrupt changes in the political stage, turns from the extreme right to the moderate left and vice versa, without any of those forces, right and left, managing to stabilize governability. For example, in Brazil, the government of Jair Bolsonaro went into crisis just a few days after taking office. The main form that the government, this government crisis is assuming is the open and public confrontation between the Bolsonarists and the Vice President General Hamilton Mourão, which exacerbates the instability. In Colombia, the Uribist right-wing government of Iván Duque had to face a wave of public confrontation, a wave of indigenous, black, and peasant mobilizations since March 10, which blocked the main roads of the country. In Argentina, is the paradigmatic case of the impossible right-wing governability. Why? Because the crisis, the real crisis, began in December 2017 with the massive protest against pension reform. The elites in this moment understood that Mauricio Macri could not impose this program, his program, and began to speculate. At the moment, the picture in Argentina and in the whole region is of a crisis of credibility by the governments. In these three countries, but also in the whole region, the main data is the activists of the native and black peoples, the peasants and the urban poor. They are blocking the governability of the right, and they cause the crisis of progressive governments also. The second thing is about Zapatista ideas. Took Moisés in last December or 1st January said, "We are alone." As can be seen, the Zapatista leadership is not deceived by the new situation marked by the triumph of Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Moisés said, "If we have achieved something, it is because of our work, and if we have an error, it's also our fault." He was mentioning the autonomous works that have allowed hundreds of thousands of indigenous people, more or less 1,000 of communities, to live different, where it is the people who rule and the autonomous government who obeys. The importance of the words of Moisés are twofold. It makes a reading of reality without concessions. To conclude that today the anti-capitalist forces are minority and are isolated. We all are isolated all over the world and throughout the Latin American region. Recognize the reality. We are alone, we are weak, and the powers have the initiative in all areas, except in ethics. To complete the picture, there are no political or social forces today capable of reversing the situation in the short term. In short, we cannot play our few forces in electoral sets, for example, or in immediate battles. In the recent history of Latin America, we become strong in the dark times of repression and militarism. This is very important to think about this, to reflect about this. We grow and accumulate forces, but in democracy, we waste our forces in the institutional games. This is a Zapatist idea very important for me. For example, ecclesia-based communities and popular education were at the base of many movements, although they are not Greek organizations, but counter-hegemonic practices. This is another Zapatista idea. The Greek organizations are not so important as the practice, the counter-hegemonic practices. Another thing of the Zapatista thought is that the social policies of the progressive and also conservative governments have formed entire generations of leaders and militants who aspire to embed themselves in the state apparatus to negotiate for benefits that make life less painful and end up subordinating the collectives to the agendas of the elites. The sliding of the movements towards the institutional and electoral terrain has been enormously damaging. Much of what was built in the 90s was squandered on the electoral dynamic. This is another part of these lessons of the Zapatistas' discussions. However, despite this weakness, we can detect three rising movements around our continent: women, indigenous peoples, and Afro-Americans. Where these movements are relatively strong, have grown outside the institutional frameworks in the daily problems of the peoples and social sectors. Then the third thing is about the long-term proposals of Zapatismo. I think that Zapatismo is anything different. Zapatismo is a new form of political action that does not consist in making politics in the world in the old style, with representatives that carry the voice of the people to the institutions. They have two ways of doing it, when the old movements had only one way: to resist the state, to ask or demand from the state, and to collaborate sometimes with the state, depending on each moment. But in the old politics, the state was always the central reference. I think sometimes not only the central, the only reference. But the Zapatista had two modes of actions. First, resist the state and capital, put a brake on them. Second, build in their own territories, recovered territories, something new, a new world. Different from the hegemonic world, a world where many worlds fit, a world with its own health, justice, and education, with its own power that are power not like the state power. I speak about non-state powers, because they rotate. Those that rule not only obey but change every week at the juntas de buen gobierno. There are new common dealings. Then we are facing a new paradigm to change the world, a new political culture that dialogues with feminist movements. Normally in Occident, when we reflect about the Zapatista movements, for me one of the examples is the feminist movement, who is changing the world without taking power, without going into the institutions, with confrontation and dialogue with the state, but with our different way as the institutional way. Then finally, I will speak a little about these 25 years, six ideas about a little balance of these 25 years from the Zapat, está uprising. The first one is the consolidation of the autonomy in three levels: community, municipality, and regional. It's the only movement in Latin America who has these three levels of autonomy. Normally, the autonomy is only in one level, the community, but they built these three levels of autonomy. And this is most important because to build this autonomy, this juntas de buen gobierno, the Zapatista army goes to the side. They say the military part of the Zapatista movement is not democratic. And it's not rational, it's very bad that we as soldiers, we decide over the people. The people assemblies, this is democratic, but we must go out of this part of the diary, of the daily movement, the daily life. Then the communities can decide, can work for themselves. The second aspect is the role of the women from below. This is also very important. Last year in Morelia, in the women meeting from Morelia, the commander Erika said that some urban women despise us because we do not know about women's struggles, because we have not read books where feminists explain how they should be. And this is very interesting because they speak about we are anti-patriarchal movement, we are against patriarchy and also against capitalists, but they don't speak about feminism. It's a characteristic of this movement is different as the Occidental feminism. And I think we must think a little bit about why they are working in this way. In addition to the growing participation of women, we should highlight the enormous generational change, the massive participation of young people at all levels of the Zapatista movement. Some person said that half of the Zapatista people has less of 20 years. That is a young, a women, a very young and women movement. The third thing is they are the construction of a different world. There is not an other world, it's also a different world. It's other society. And this is very interesting because in the autonomous municipalities and in the communities, they are working not for support the army. There are not bases for the war like in other revolutionary experience around the third world. They are in another logic, in another idea. They are building anything new, a different health, a different education, a different justice. But the idea of other revolutions is that these zones, that these liberated zones, must be the support for the war. The fourth is the change in the thought. They speak about the Fourth World War in the place that the Marxists call accumulation by dispossession. This is anything different. Why? Because for the people from below, the accumulation by dispossession is like a war. The people are a problem for the accumulation, for the capital accumulation, and then the capital fight directly against the people. Marco said last year, 3 years ago, the replacement was the principal, the most important replacement was that of thought, from the revolutionary avant-garde to the common obeying, from the taking of the power from above to the creation of the power from below, from professional politics to everyday politics, from leaders to people, from the marginalization of gender to the direct participation of women, from ridicule to the other to the celebrating of difference. And this change, this replacement of the old thought is also a very important characteristic of the Zapatista uprising. The fifth and the fifth aspect is the replacement of class and race. Marco said, we are changing from the mestizo leadership to the indigenous leadership. And this is so, the emergence of Moises leadership is a part of this change. Normally the guerrillas and the movements are leaded by illustrated middle class people. And this is not so. This began 35 years ago in this way, illustrated middle class, but now we have a very important indigenous and peasant leadership. Finally, there is the question of politics as war. Lenin took from Clausewitz the maxim that war is the continuation of politics by other means. From that moment, the logic of politics as a war became hegemonic in the revolutionary field throughout the world. The need to crush the enemy justified making war. Within the revolutionary camp, judging, expelling, and even assassinating those who thought and acted different. One of the consequences of the politic as war is Stalinism. Stalinism is the son of that politics. And this is not a Stalin-like person problem. It's a systemic problem. When you do the war, you are building an anti-systemic camp in hierarchical and patriarchal organization. And this is a problem for the emancipation. They ask, should we inscribe our blood in the path towards power, or should we turn our heads and our gaze to the native peoples, guardians of the earth and memory? The answer is clear. It's clear. We prepared promoters of education, health, and of the autonomy that today marvels the world. They choose to build life. I think that this is a synthesis, for me, a very important synthesis of the Zapatista way. They reject the war as a way to change the world. And this is an open discussion. Why? Because this is new. This way from not war began publicly with the Marichuy candidate last year in the elections, during the elections. It's a discussion open because in this moment the government is fighting for build new great things like the Teben Maja and another very big buildings. And I think we need here in South America and the States, in Europe, to discuss the politic as war as a problem for the emancipation movement. Paul, thank you very much.